hadn't finished a new song, going on 5 long years. This war got the best of me, and so I put down my pen. Trying to write a new song, where do I begin?
Welcome to another edition of Raising Sand Radio. I'm your host, Susan Gallimore, and with me today is Jason Moon. And that was Jason's piece of music, a new song. We're going to talk about Jason's music. Jason is a veteran from the Iraq War, and we're going to hear how he came to write this music. So, Jason, it's wonderful to have you with us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
You were on Raising Sand Radio, I think it was way back in 2008, just after you had returned from Iraq, were you not?
That was actually while we were working on the Winter Soldier with IBAW.
Exactly, and we're going to talk a little bit about that, too. You have written songs all of your life.
Yeah, I have. My mom actually tells me she can remember me writing songs as early as 3 years old in the back seat of our car when we go on long car rides. Now, I don't remember them, and I highly doubt they were any good, but she said I used to make up my own songs.
In this piece of music we just listened to, we heard you say you used to write a lot of songs before war got the best of you. And this album is your first album, isn't it?
This is my first full-length CD in 13 years, but my first collection of songs since returning in 04
from
Iraq.
This one is called Trying to Find My Way Home. Jason, I'm going to ask you to give us just a brief bit of a summary of your time in Iraq. You were with the National Guard. Talk a little bit about that before we play our first piece of music, Trying to Find My Way Home.
Yeah, I went right after the war started with the 724th Engineer Battalion out of Northern Wisconsin. We served around Talil Air Base. And it was a rather long and frustrating deployment as we were one of the first units going through. There wasn't a lot of creature comforts available for us, and they were making up the rules as they went along. So it was a rather difficult deployment and pretty much changed my life forever.
You were deployed for how long was that?
I was deployed for 13 months. I was actually in Iraq for 11 months.
And I know you have a son. Were you a father already when you went?
Yeah, my son was 3 years old when I left, and that was very hard to leave him behind, and especially to see all the young children in Iraq. My son is half Korean, so his skin tone and complexion and the skin tones of those young Iraqi children is very similar.
One of the things that you said when you came back was that your unit was told by your captain that it was, you know, best if there were children in the way just to keep going and run them over, to imply to run them over, right?
Oh, it wasn't an implication. It was a direct order to run them over. And when I first came back, and I would tell that story, of course, people would say I was lying or that my unit was a bad apple, but now since coming home and since 2011, there's countless accusations of that order being given, still being given widely in Iraq. And I didn't find out till just recently. I'd been told that our unit was part of actually hitting a child, but I didn't find out till recently that we actually did. One of my dear friends that I served with was on the convoy when the child was hit, and was also on the mission where they brought the civil affairs unit to the parents of the girl who had been killed and at gunpoint forced them to sign off for $200, accepting $200 for the killing of their daughter at gunpoint. Freely signed off at gunpoint.
Jason, it seems as though the war has pretty much fallen off people's radar now, hasn't it? We barely even hear stories like this anymore.
We don't, and I'm very troubled by the nature of which I'm actually working on a show in which I talk about this. In the Vietnam War, there were 2.8 million veterans who served in country, but 8 million who served during the war. And we're fast approaching with this war almost 2.5 million people who served in Iraq and Afghanistan, which is a fraction of a percent of the population. But because there's really no risk to the rest of the population of being deployed to these wars, they really don't have to worry about it. So such a very small percentage of the population and their family members, but it's such a small minority that people forget we're at war. As of 2010, 11,000 troops have served 6 tours because they're just recycling the same soldiers, keeping the burden upon such a very few amount of people makes everyone else able to be apathetic or ignorant.
Let's listen to the piece now called Trying to Find My Way Home and talk a little bit about that, and it definitely touches on what you're talking about now. So here it goes.
How do they expect a man to do the things that I have, come back and be the same? The things I've done that I regret, the things I've seen I won't forget, but this life and so many more. And I'm trying to find my way home. Child inside me, long dead and gone, somewhere between lost and alone, trying to find my way home. And I've seen another side, another slice of the pie that didn't seem too fair to me. People who did not deserve the sufferings that they incurred, freedom ought to be free. I'm trying to find my way home. Child inside me is long dead and gone, somewhere between lost and alone, trying to find my way home. Whether we lose or win, I'm so sick and tired of the spin, don't think I can take any more. Truth must stay in disguise, hidden beneath all the lies. What were we fighting for? And I'm trying to find my way home. Child inside me, long dead and gone, somewhere between lost and alone, trying to find my way home. Keep a smile, look into the eyes of my child, and tell him my dad has to go. And after daddy's went away, he's come back and he ain't the same, the man that you used to know. I'm trying to find my way home. Child inside me, long dead and gone, somewhere between lost and alone, trying to find my way home. Sitting here with time to kill, staring out my windowsill, trying so hard to forget. In time I may forgive myself, but history repeats itself, burdens my soul with regrets. dead and gone, somewhere between lost and alone, trying to find my way home. Lately it's occurred to me, it's hard to fight an enemy that lives inside of your head. Spend my life in between the sleepless nights and the bad dreams. I think I'd rather be dead. And I'm trying to find my way home. Child inside me, long dead and gone, somewhere between lost and alone, trying to find my way home. So how do they expect a man to see the things that I have come back and be the same?
Jason, that was Trying to Find My Way Home from your new album of the same name, Trying to Find My Way Home. It's a CD, and people can get hold of the CD via your website, jasonmoon.org. In this piece of music, you talk about the enemy that lives inside your head. How do they expect a man to do these things and then come back and be the same?
I actually began writing that song in Iraq shortly after I came back from leave, which was my first experience of the culture shock of being in Iraq in the combat zone and the combat environment and just coming home for a short period of time and then being, you know, thrown back in it. It began there, and it finished itself when I returned home. It's actually the only song I was able to finish up until recently about Iraq, and I guess it's just a question of how do they expect people to be in this environment where escalating to violence and killing an individual is encouraged and accepted and often rewarded, and then if you come home and respond with the same kind of mentality, you're imprisoned. And just the juxtaposition of those two worlds as the soldier tries to readjust and then dealing with what you were asked to do and what was okay in combat, and everyone is fine with, so you come back and it's not so wonderful when you have to deal with it all alone. Such a small percentage of the population is actually serving this experience. No one seems to understand, which leaves a veteran feeling quite isolated. There's a line in there that says, to live my life in between the sleepless nights and the bad dreams, I think I might rather be dead. And it just kind of traces the slow decline of a veteran when they return home.
Let me remind our listeners that we're talking with Jason Moon, who's the songwriter and musician on his album, Trying to Find My Way Home. Jason, you were supposed to participate in the Winter Soldier hearings in 2008, and as I understand it, you were going through some serious post-traumatic stress at that point, and you did not participate.
No, I wound up the day before we were supposed to leave. I had been actively participating in spreading the media message and raising funds to get all kinds of Midwestern soldiers out there, but the day before we left, I had a breakdown and wound up inpatient at the VA without my shoelaces. Pretty much a total breakdown. Up until that point, the DOD had diagnosed me with severe depression, and because they were avoiding the label PTSD whenever possible, so the VA had been treating me for depression, not for PTSD.
And how long did you stay in the hospital?
I stayed there 3 days, and they let me out once I had gotten a grip. They let me out, and about 3 weeks later, I attempted suicide.
And actually, when you say that you were there without your shoelaces, that's also an indication that they thought you were suicidal.
Yeah, I was. I checked myself in because I was having such bad anxiety and nightmares, and it was so intense that I had begun to contemplate whether, with 4 years of suffering behind me and it increasingly getting worse, that there was no end in sight and they were offering no cure. So I had begun to convince myself that just as a terminally ill cancer patient would euthanize themselves to stop being a burden upon their family and to end the suffering, so too I had that right. I went into the inpatient for 3 days, which was, you know, kind of embarrassing, having been scheduled to speak. I was also scheduled to perform at the concert afterwards, and I had raised all kinds of money to send veterans, and then I didn't show up. And then finally, after that, and after that was for contemplating suicide, I was able to get myself there as opposed to actually following through. And then when they let me out, about 3 weeks later, I actually attempted to kill myself by taking an overdose of various prescription sleeping pills and sedatives, which failed. And that's when I started to take PTSD a lot more seriously. And that's when the VA finally put me in front of a professional who deals with PTSD and not depression. And that's when I started to be able to get it under control to some degree, or at least understand what it was.
And I want to also mention that before you went into that crisis, you were, as you mentioned, very active, and you were part of the Milwaukee Iraq Veterans Against War, part of Veterans for Peace, and also Veterans for Peace Homeless Vets Initiative. So it wasn't as if you were not in the world. You were doing as much as you can to raise awareness about the war, and yet you also went into the spiral.
It was difficult because the reason I was in IBAW was just because there was so much that I had seen in the war, and then to come home and hear people who hadn't been there be on television saying that what we had seen had not happened, and having such a large portion of the American public willing to believe pundits and politicians over the testimony of veterans, I just really felt that the public needed to know what we were doing over there to make a truly educated choice as to whether we should be there or not. And as we progressed in trying to put Winter Soldier together, the resistance we met being called traitors and Scottish soldiers and having our experiences questioned and trying to say that we were just, you know, a few bad apples and 120-some veterans from every armed service from every location, Afghanistan and Iraq, all with the same stories. That was the hope, is that how can this be an isolated incident? But obviously in doing that, you have to tell your story, and in telling my story, I found myself faced with the trauma I was trying to hide from. Didn't work out so well.
The song Hold On, let's listen to that, and then we can talk a little bit about the process of coming back that you really had to negotiate. So okay. Let's listen to Hold On.
When the hope you've been searching for is so very far away, and you hear your worst enemy in every word you say, when the light shines so dim that you cannot see your hand, letting go's the only way you know to escape your pain. Hold on, hold on, hold on, for one more day. Hold on, hold on, hold on, for one more day. When you think that you've seen the end and it's all that you can take, give everything you own just to catch your breath today. When it don't let up and you feel so down and there's nowhere to turn, and you look all around and you find that you've lost all your faith in you, then there's nothing left for you to do except to hold on. Hold on, hold on, it's been a long, long while since I felt so good, like I knew I should, like I thought I would one day. When you've given up and you've given in and you've lost your life to a ball of sin, and you just can't win no matter how you try. You get down on your knees and you start to cry, and I say, hold on, hold on, hold on one more day. Hold on, hold on, hold on one more day.
Jason Moon's piece of music called Hold On from the CD album Trying to Find My Way Home. You can find it at www.jasonmoon.org. Jason, talk about the process of coming back that music refers to, holding on, just to keep yourself going.
This is a song that was written about, I'd say about a year and a half before the suicide attempt. It started anyways, as was mentioned in the beginning piece, New Song. Music is where I used to put my emotions to deal with them. The song was not for other people so much as for me to try and remember to just hold on for, you know, to get through one more day. From shortly after I arrived home, a couple weeks to the day I actually started getting real help for PTSD, it was literally one day at a time, convincing myself to try to hold on for one more day. And that song is about 4 years of holding on for one more day.
You think things will go right for you just one time. Sounds like there was a lot of days when you just felt like nothing was ever going to be right again.
Yeah, there's a line in there of the simple things that used to make you smile. And you say, hell, it's been a long, long while. And just that when you come home, that loss of self and things that used to bring you such great joy, such as songwriting for me or spending time with family, is just, you're numb and you don't feel anything. And you go through this struggle where you deny, you know, you're in denial. When you go to the war, you basically put your life on hold, and you have a life waiting for you when you get back. And when you get home, you try to push play, and nothing is where it was supposed to be. And as PTSD sets in, you struggle to reclaim the person you once were before you left, the joyful, happy person. But until you confront the fact that that person is dead and gone, and you know your innocence, the child inside you, the joyful innocence is gone, and it's never coming back, you can't begin to heal. So there's a struggle in this song of hoping for things to begin to get better while they're progressively getting worse. When I started writing it, the ending, I didn't finish it until earlier this year. But when I wrote it, it could have just as well never been finished and never been heard of, because there were many days where the entire day was spent in an argument with myself, trying to convince myself that suicide was not the answer.
Mm. Talk about your relationship with your son. How do you, especially now a male child, how do you talk with a male child about your experiences in war and the lies that are told?
It's very difficult. He was 3 years old when I left, so there's really nothing. It's very hard to explain the dynamics of this democracy and how we were, and oftentimes doing the very things that we accused our enemy of doing, and killing civilians in secret prisons, and you know, propaganda, and conscripting soldiers through the stop loss. So at three, I just told him that Daddy had to go fight bad guys. And it was difficult. I didn't really, you know what else to say. This is my first...
Too young.
And I don't, you know, mind-numbing to me that I had to go. But when I came back, he had seen what I had done as heroic. So for a long time, it was very difficult, because to play with my son meant to play army.
So he was about five at that point, right, going on
five?
Yeah,
and up until he was even recently, yeah, he would get army guys, and, you know, he would have the bad guys and the good guys, and he would have them shooting each other, and I would try to remind him, like, from, you know, this, even these bad guys, in quotations, they had mothers and they had sons, just like you, and they don't come back to life, and you know, it would bring a great sadness to me. And there was a lot of time when my son would come as a defense mechanism, my body would just shut down and I would fall asleep. I would get tired, as if someone had drugged me. And of course he didn't understand that. But if I wanted to have a interaction with him, he wanted to. I'm a divorced parent, so I have him some of the time. He always wanted to play war, and then I would find myself, if I engaged in the war play, I would begin telling him how to flank a fighting position or how to do covering fire. It's kind of weird, because as a child, I also played, as many children do, you know, played soldier, and sometimes I would find myself. The only way to communicate with them and play with them, he wanted to play war, and I would begin to play war with them, but then I would take something he had done and say, no, you would never move your that right flank up without covering from it, you know, and start defining it as if it was a real strategy session with a sand table. And so...
Well, what's occurring to me right now is I'm thinking that there's a similarity actually between the war veteran talking to a child about war and actually a war veteran trying to talk to a population in denial about war, isn't there? You have to be careful what you say at some level, although eventually people have to grow up and understand what it is we're paying for over there in these foreign lands.
Oh, I think that's absolutely... So you just hit it on the head. There is just, it's like talking to a child when people just refuse to listen and they just wave the flag and they, you know, anything you say against this whole idea, and it's been pounded through intentionally that being against the war is somehow being against the soldier, or, you know, whereas the largest contingent of people helping homeless veterans here in the Milwaukee area are the Milwaukee Veterans for Peace, veterans who served and no longer believe in war, but somehow they're less patriotic than the person who puts the "I support the troops" sticker on their car and does absolutely nothing. I mean, we have to separate that first, that you honor the warrior and not the war. There's honor to be given for a soldier who's willing to serve their country, and that once they answer that call, a soldier, veteran, Marine or Airman or Navy, someone who serves the military, that's important, and I don't deny that, but then it comes down to the civilian population to make sure that they're being utilized with the utmost care before they go, while they're there, and when they come back. And people don't want to hear about it. People don't want to, you know, hear about the atrocities that are happening over there. When WikiLeaks and Julian Assange leak some of these videos that are horrible, and of course, you know, even there people fail to realize this is just what was reported. None of what I saw was ever reported. This is just the stuff that someone actually reported to up their chain of command, which probably represents a 2 to 5% of what actually goes on. And the answer was, you know, hang them. Hang Julian Assange. Not talk about the war crimes that were being shown. Not discuss whether or not we should stop doing that. But hang the messenger. Because if we keep the American people ignorant, they'll keep going for it. And I think this is why we don't have a draft, because then your average American doesn't have to care about it. And they're already, with their talk of budget cuts, the same people who waved those flags so loudly at the beginning of the war are now talking about freezing the VA budget. While there's an increase of veterans in need, they're going to freeze that budget. And they want to also cut disability benefits. The most recent report of oversight on the war spending, they couldn't find $15 billion. It just seems like if you can't afford to care for the veterans when they return, then you obviously can't afford the war. I liken it, when I talk to people, it's like if you're going on a family trip to Las Vegas, and you're driving cross country or wherever you're going on this vacation, and you realize that if you continue the vacation, you're going to lose your house. And so you sell the house and continue the vacation. Of course, they can't enact the draft, because then people would become aware and you know, they might have to serve and then they would care. And like in Vietnam, that would probably lead to the end if it was everyone's problem. But because they don't, they're recycling these soldiers. I had one experience in warfare, and it was mild compared to others, and it's left me, you know, fighting for my life and trying for the last, I don't know how many years, since 2004, what is that, 7 years, to just even get close to being able to function in a semi-normal way. Imagine someone who served 6 times. We are creating a problem in a subset of our society of these returning veterans that will be with us for decades to come. And the cost is immeasurable, just even in prisons and rehabilitation programs, and not to mention just the human toll.
There's a side to this, though, I think that also affects civilians, which is, I think that we've become aware at some level of a trauma within the whole society, because we've really recognized devil within us too. And I feel sometimes as if that's why the wars have fallen off the radar to some extent, that they're so overwhelmingly awful to understand and take responsibility for, that like you, when you returned, you went into this depression. I think that civilians are also at some level in a depression, I mean, not just this obvious economic depression, but a trauma around just how awful we have conducted ourselves.
I agree completely. I think that's that idea of when we first went, of just waving the flag and we got to do this for the freedom of our country and don't ask questions, those days have come and passed. And now some of the very things that we accused Saddam Hussein and these evil regimes are doing, we now participate in on a regular basis. We've to defeat our enemy, we've become our enemy, and rather than confront that, like the veteran who tries to deny PTSD, the society just ignores it. You know, they stick their fingers in their ear and they don't want to hear about it. And like I said, instead of discussing what was on the films that WikiLeaks leaked, we want to just stop being told it. We don't want to stop it from happening. We just want to stop hearing about it. But the ignorance of that, that won't affect how that portion of the world sees us and how they react towards us is just staggering.
At the same time, Jason, as we'll hear from your next piece of music, Another Day Like This, you have, well, you're finding your way back, for sure. I mean, live every day as if it's the last day alive. I feel as if I'm finally alive. This is some of the lyrics from the song. Let's play the song and then come back to you.
I've been wandering, torn asunder by the thoughts inside my head. I've been howling instead of sleeping all night long, those voices screaming. I've been wondering, I've been thinking that it's time to quit my drinking. I've been hoping, I've been dreaming that I'll finally quit my scheming. I don't wanna live another day like this, just gonna be another day I miss. I don't wanna live another day only to get by. I don't wanna live another day like this, just gonna be another day I miss. I don't wanna live another day if I'm not alive.
I'm gonna live another day like this.
And our listeners, this is Raising Sand Radio. I'm your host, Susan Gallimore, and we are talking with Jason Moon, who was in the National Guard, deployed to Iraq early on in the war, came back to writing music after struggling for a long time with the war and what he had done in it and the depression that derived from that. But this song is heading to a more hopeful note, Another Day Like This. Jason, talk about that.
Yeah, that's a song about coming to the realization that self-medication through alcohol, while it provided temporary relief, you know, it was a way of hiding from the pain and only furthering the problem. And there's a line in there that is sums up the transition where it says, I stopped... wondering and started fumbling when quiet voices began a mumbling, and all they were saying is, what's the use in staying if this is the price that we'll be paying? And so the idea of having to suffer and use alcohol to hide from the suffering for the rest of your life was no longer an option. And so I took steps to eliminate that. That is more about that decision to live without self-medicating and to try and defeat the depression. And it's a song of hope, and it's more for others, I guess. It's positive, don't get me wrong. It's a step that needs to be taken from anyone who's suffering from PTSD and maybe self-medicating towards the right direction, but it is simply righting the ship to a direction, but the journey is just as long. I mean, I tell people my life happens in between the episodes of PTSD. But accepting that, accepting the reality of that, accepting that hiding behind a bottle or in whatever you do is not the solution, and just trying to make the most of what you have left of a life, regardless of how much suffering is involved in it, and living it to its fullest is really your only option. It's positive in that it's about no longer heading in the wrong direction, but heading in the right direction and actually being out of the darkness. It's two different things.
Jason, what do you do with your life now? I mean, what you've done is you've learned things that the vast majority of people in this country certainly will never have to grapple with, and you've seen an underside of our culture and our country and what it means to be on top and capitalist and all of that. That's a huge burden to carry, but I would imagine that there are times when you just feel like, man, I do not want to participate in maintaining this illusion that we're living.
These songs came about when I was invited to be part of a documentary film by a filmmaker named Olivier Morel, and produced by Zadig Productions. It's called On the Bridge. It comes out in September of this year in France and Germany, where people care about things like that. And they came and asked me to work on these songs, and I had not been able to finish the songs on this CD for, I had them on scraps of paper, but I was unable to finish them. And the request to work on them for this documentary brought them out, and when I had them out and I had the guitar and I started taking these emotions, I was able to capture a lot of them in these songs. That was good because music had always been, you know, my safe place, and I was able to use it to kind of express some of these emotions that had been buried inside me for 6 years. And then I began to play it, and people who had heard it, I got some really positive responses from some veterans, a woman whose son had been home for a year and a half and had some serious problems and wouldn't open up to anyone, and she played him that title track, Trying to Find My Way Home, and she said he broke down and went to the VA the next day and started getting help. And so when I heard that, I thought, well, my passion is veterans advocacy and music, so why not merge the two? So now I try to go around and I promote this music, and I set up fundraisers where I play a show and I talk about veterans issues and what happens to veterans and how they fall through the cracks and why they become homeless and PTSD and what it is and how a change in the way we think about PTSD and is not a disorder but a syndrome, because it is not anything out of the ordinary about it. In fact, it's a complete normal reaction to an abnormal situation. And how, if we could change the way we talk about it, we could save lives. The suicide rates went up 150% since the beginning of these wars. So I try to lecture and educate the public through music, story, the kind of a program I put together in this CD. And then I team up with a local, whatever community, veterans group, because in every community there's people doing the work for veterans. And that's kind of become my new focus. I can't really talk about the war anymore, because it still brings back the same feelings that put me, in the hospital. So I focus now on helping those who suffer. And then I raise a bunch of money and give it to that veterans charity and kind of show the community how they're responsible for those veterans, how they can help, and I connect them to the organizations that are already doing the help. Mostly, they're usually run by veterans, and then I pack up my tent and I move to the next town, and I'm just going around wherever they'll have me. I hope to get out to your area this September and do a tour out there of different areas.
Yeah, there's a need for it here, so, and you'll find a really receptive community, so I hope you manage to do that. Talk about how our listeners can get in touch with you if they're if they want to bring you out there, and also how they can get your album here, I'm Trying to Find My Way Home.
Well, the new CD is available on my webpage, which is probably the easiest place to get it. Because
it's jasonmoon.org, right?
Jasonmoon.org, and that's also how you can reach me. You can email me at moon@jasonmoon.org, or you can find the contact information through that webpage. It's also available on iTunes and Amazon and Napster and pretty much all the major music retailers. And I just got found out yesterday it's been accepted for Pandora Radio.
Yay, congratulations.
It took them a month to decide, and I guess it takes 3 months to get on there, but eventually that'll be on there. And I plan on basically spending the next year and a half of my life driving around and trying to just say what I can, and I'll leave it to the audience after they hear about what's happening with veterans and the homelessness rates and the fact that 20-50% of all returning veterans have PTSD, the fact that 17% of the people deployed to Afghanistan now are on psychotropic drugs. So they're being treated for PTSD while being redeployed, re-traumatized. And then I leave it to the audience to decide whether or not to continue that discussion as to whether the suffering is worth it, why we're causing this suffering. And hopefully it opens up a discussion.
That was Jason Moon, veteran of the war in Iraq, where he deployed as a National Guardsman. Jason shared three pieces from his new CD, Trying to Find My Way Home, and the story of the struggle to regain and maintain a meaningful life after war. You can reach Jason Moon and purchase the CD from his website, jasonmoon.org. And the CD is also available through Amazon, Napster, Pandora, and other places. So just do a search on Jason Moon, Trying to Find My Way Home, and you should find a way to purchase that. Again, this is Raising Sand Radio, and I'm Susan Gallimore. Visit our website, raisingsandradio.org, to listen to any of our shows. We've done many shows with veterans and military families, and shows on the effects of war and other topics. Over the next few weeks, we'll air voices of veterans who continue to struggle with the effects of their service. This includes in-depth views into environmental effects of military bases on local communities across our land and in our territories and host countries around the world. Join us at raisingsandradio.org to find out more about those. And again, that's also where you can find all of our shows. You can contact me directly at susan@raisingsandradio.org. Always glad to be in touch with our listeners, so drop me a line if you have anything to add or any ideas on shows you'd like to hear. And, of course, any donations you can make towards keeping us going is gladly and gratefully accepted. You would find the donation button on Raising Sand Radio, and we're actually a project of Mother Speak and Mother Speak Media, which is fiscally sponsored by the Peace Development Fund. So go there, and again, any amount of donation is gratefully accepted, and it'll go through PayPal. Thanks for listening, and we go out with Jason Moon and a new song. Again, this is available on his CD, Trying to Find My Way Home.
Used to write a lot of songs where I put my hopes and fears. Hadn't finished a new song going on 5 long years. This war got the best of me, and so I put down my pen. Trying to write a new song, where do I begin? Sometimes I'm tired, sometimes I'm depressed. Sometimes it takes everything to keep my heart from beating right out of my chest. And sometimes I have no idea what it is I'm trying to prove. Tonight I write a new song, bear my soul to you. 5 days without sleep, and my muscles began to shake. Shadows moving on the wall, nightmare while I was wide awake. All I can do is sit there and try to hold on tight. Tonight I write a new song, pray I get some rest tonight. One day I woke up to find all this change across my chest. Not sure how they got there, but if you grant me this one request, if you know the person who has the key, ask them to lend it to me. Tonight I write a new song, it's Derek Weiss and me. Got a lot of prescriptions in my medicine chest. Rather not take any of them, but others seem to think it's best that I should walk through my life with this pharmaceutical helmet on. Tonight I write a new song, pray one day all them pills are gone. Think about it long enough, feel sorry for yourself. And I get real depressed when I start thinking about someone else who has it so much worse than me, yet still does not complain. Tonight I write a new song, hang my head in shame. Some people have their money, others have fancy things. Some know that a family's worth more than some big old diamond ring. Well, to maintain the things I love is a struggle every single day. Not I write a new song so that they don't slip away. So if I've ever harmed you, if I've ever done you wrong, if I owe you money, if you're offended by my songs, either let me pay you back in words or catch me another time. Not I write a new song, yeah, I'm working overtime. Song, yeah, it's been a long, long time. Put the past behind me and try and greet the future with a smile. Just a simple melody to show you just how far I've come. Finally wrote a new song, let's hope there's more to come. Have to end this new song so I can start another one.